You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by Pastor David.
As usual.
Pastor Tyler.
Getting used to it.
And you guys, we even convinced Natalie to join us. Hey, Natalie.
Surprise! Hey.
It wasn't even like too much peer pressure this time.
Not too much.
I think she just, you know, wanted to hang out.
Weak moment.
Weak moment.
So we need everybody to write in on how much you enjoy her today.
Yeah, so that she comes back. No, it'll be fun to have a full house here. All the mics are hot today. Exciting stuff. So I realize it's been a while since we've podcasted. I've even had some people reach out like, hey, I don't think it's working. Like, I don't think they're getting uploaded. I was like, no, it's just because we haven't podcasted.
Wow,
so
our fan base.
I know. Our fan base. No technical difficulties there, you guys. We just have not been on top of things. I really don't know how else to put it. Like I said, I think in January when we podcasted last, which is crazy, we were kind of shifting what we were doing, at least for now, and rather than just always recapping or diving further into the sermons, we are going to tackle some other things. However, today we are going to kind of tie this into our sermon series, our series called The Great Commission, where we're talking about telling people about Jesus and why it's important. And we just talked what urgency on Sunday. And so while this isn't going to follow the sermon, we are going to talk about evangelism, which is everyone's favorite topic to talk about.
It is, right?
I feel like when you talk about evangelism or praying out loud, those are the two fastest ways to thin a crowd of Christians. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say so, yeah.
Because everyone gets scared, you know? I feel like you're so far away, Tyler.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sitting at the end of the table.
But before we dive too deep, how's everybody's week going? It's been like such a roller coaster with weather lately. Mm-hmm. Like last week we had that crazy blizzard or blizzard-like conditions kind of. It wasn't as bad here as it was south of here. And then it was like a warm day, and then we had another no school day with lots of snow, and then and then it got really warm yesterday. Yeah. Holy cow!
I'm fine with that because I looked at Amy and I'm not even shoveling. What does it matter?
Yeah,
I like it when that happens. Right? It's like it'll melt by tomorrow. Like, just let it set. So, yeah. But it made the week for me. Like thinking about that now, it seems like that was a long time ago already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody, but it just does. It's like, oh, yeah, that was just last week. Oh, that feels like a month ago. I don't know. It just made the week feel like it was, we were living the winter, and then we're living spring, and then we're living winter. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you like that, Natalie?
No. It does feel like it was a long time ago, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then you guys had to cancel
our Wednesday night.
We had like three.
I know.
Three this year.
Like, boom, boom, boom.
Every Wednesday, it seems like.
Yes. I'm like, stop with the weather.
Yeah, that has been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How about you? Do you just go with the flow, Tyler, when it comes to that stuff?
I do.
Yeah.
I
mean, what else can we do? You know, but.
Very much go with the flow. So I do scoop my neighbor's driveway. So sometimes I might even leave my own, but I usually go over and take care of his. Because he appreciates that.
Yeah, who wouldn't? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're a good neighbor.
Do you evangelize to him?
Good segue. She is invited back every time.
Yep.
Man.
And we do actually, gosh, we talk vegetable garden and we talk Jesus.
That's awesome.
Me and my neighbor. Yep. He does have a church home here in town.
Okay.
Good. Which is good.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's awesome. Good job.
It helps when you know that they are a person of faith.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. So with that, I'm not going to let that segue go because that was perfect. So we're going to talk a little bit for a while here about like what are the obstacles that keep us as Christians from witnessing to someone, from telling them about Jesus. So like, what do you think are some of the reasons that we don't do that?
Well, this is why we've invited other people to the table, so that we could all collectively have a conversation on speaking into that. Of course, I mean, I could give a list of my own. I gave some a little bit on Sunday, if anybody was here for the sermon. I'm going to give you one of my, I think, top ones that I've wrestled with. Of course, there's the uncomfortability. Don't get me wrong. There's that, the fear and those kind of things. I think one of the things that we have to address in the church today is how many, the mindset that whether it's Satan has done it, we've allowed it ourselves, like however it's played out. But there are so many Christians that have gotten to the point that they believe they cannot evangelize unless they are trained how to do it. I haven't been properly shown how to do this, so thus I can't do it. And I only say that because if you go back to the beginning of Scripture, of like the church, they weren't trained either. They just went and did it, right? So don't get me wrong. There's a great
there
thing
were
about,
no blueprints. For
there
them.
Were no blueprints. There was no class. Like there was no evangelism 101.
Yeah.
In the early church, and throughout the entirety of the church history. But for some reason, in like this Western culture context, we have created this. I am not adequately prepared to do that. Nobody has given me the tools and resources to go do it. And thus, it's easier for me to talk myself out of doing it because I'm not prepared to do it. Mm-hmm. But then what's interesting is even when we try to prepare, and so I'm thinking about myself, I've been in many evangelism classes. I've been in, you know, I've taught them, you know. And even once you've done it, people are still like, I'm not ready. So I think that's a mindset. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't try to equip one another. That's not the point of what I'm saying. It's just I think that's a good thing that a lot of people want to use as a reason is I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, nobody does. Really, nobody. So I think that's a big one is we try to just talk ourselves out of it because nobody's shown me.
Right.
So.
Right. Tyler?
Pride. For me, pride gets in the way. Thinking about what other people will think of me, you know, hey, can I tell you about the God of the universe? Like, nah, I don't really want to hear all about that right now. So, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry. Maybe like that, the idea of people pleasing, not making anybody uncomfortable, but it is uncomfortable. It can be, and we live. You said it. The Western society is built on comfort. Shopping online,
curbside
pickup, lots and lots
love
of
it.
Comfort. discomfort is synonymous with displeasing, so we avoid it. So it's just easy to avoid the conversations, even though it's one of the most important, important conversation that you can have with someone is let's talk about where your soul is going to end up.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Natalie?
I would piggyback off Tyler, pride and rejection of people. Yeah. The rejection part is very hard for me. So even with people that I call friends and family, that rejection is huge. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. So how do we work to overcome some of those obstacles?
I mean, speaking of all of them, because I think this fits with a lot of them, all the ones that we've mentioned, is we have to remove the misconception of what our responsibility is and what God's responsibility is. Mm. So case in point of, well, I don't know what I'm doing, or what are they going to think of me, or am I going to be rejected, or what if I screw this up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if I make it worse than it already was? What, like the big long list, right? Mm-hmm. It's because we have to let go of the misconception that we're going to save anyone. We're not going to save anybody.
Right.
It's. I don't want to lower evangelism down to this level, but here's what's funny about evangelism. It's a different word, but every single person that's listening to this right now, you guys we evangelize all the time, right? Let me give you an example. Hey, my wife and I just went to Cedar Rapids and ate at this amazing restaurant. Can I tell you, oh my goodness, the service was, oh, and the atmosphere, and oh my goodness, I took that first bite and it was so good.
Or hey, did you watch that new show on Hulu?
Oh yeah, did you watch? Yeah, so yeah. Or what? You don't know Hulu? Let me tell you about Hulu.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. Saying,
we evangelize all the time. But the reason we do that is because it ultimately comes down to this. It's not on my shoulders whether you go watch the show or whether you go to the restaurant. Like, I'm sharing it with you, trying to express to you the awesomeness of what I experienced and what I have. But it's not the pressure of, well, if you don't go to that restaurant, that's not on me.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go watch that show, that's not on me. So there's a freedom to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, when it comes to Christianity, we walk around like, I have to save this person. If I don't say this just right, it's going to fall apart. If I don't do this just right, they're going to reject Jesus forever. Don't give yourself so much credit. I think I talked a little bit about that on Sunday.
You did. Like, yeah. It got some laughs.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're not as all powerful as you think you are, right? So I think that's a big one with all of these is we have to know what God's role is and what our role is and be comfortable in that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Stakes are high. But it's still ultimately on God. It's not on us. So Jesus never said that someday we're going to go. It's actually it's in Ezekiel. Actually, I turned to that, but I'm not going to read it exactly. But it's in Ezekiel chapter 3. But there's this scary passage that talks about if you don't warn a wicked man, their blood is on your hands, right? Mm-hmm. If you do, then you're really. But it's a great passage to the seriousness of telling people about warning them. But notice what God says. God doesn't say you're going to be held accountable whether they repent or not. He only says your job is to go warn them. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. As long as you go do that, the rest of it's between me and them. It's not on you. So I think that's a big one, is we have to step out of the God position.
Yeah.
And just do what we're called to do. And there's an excitement to it. There's a joy to it then, because it's no different than, let me tell you about something awesome that I don't want you to miss out on.
Yeah.
So that's my opinion anyways. I don't know.
Agreed. Was it Luke that you quoted this Sunday, where the harvest is plentiful but the laborers are few?
Mm-hmm.
That's in Luke 10. And just before that, it talks about the Lord appointed 72, sometimes 70, depending on which transcript is or which manuscript is used. So 70 or 72. And my initial thoughts were when I read that, 72, I thought there were only 12. Well, there was Jesus' close inner circle. The rest of these people would have been people just like us who had been following along, maybe not the inner circle, but knew enough about Jesus and his ministry that they dispatched and went out to evangelize. So when you talk about I'm not qualified, oh, in fact, you are. Mm-hmm. Because you are, like, if you come to church here, and you, let's say you have been, if today's your first day in church, there's lots to learn. But there's, even for people that have been going to church their entire lives, there's still lots to learn. As long as you know about Jesus, then you can evangelize for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether you're in his closest inner circle, the 12, a pastor, the worship leader, somebody that comes and leaves right away, like you can do it. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it's actually like a discipline. It's one of the disciplines. It's something we're commanded to do. But I think that's why it's a discipline, because it's not easy. I mean, I think it can be. I think sometimes we overthink things, but if it were easy, we would all be, you know, bringing people every Sunday to church. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that can get in the way. So let's now, we know that this is something we're called to do, right? Like we know this. Every Christian knows this in our hearts, in our heart of hearts, deep down in our soul. We know that we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. So what are some practical ways we can do this and like engage in these conversations? I kind of think of it like almost, and maybe I do this because my brain is so structured and strange. But I kind of think of it like in categories of like more like less formal ways to do it, and then maybe like more of a mid, and then something that's a little more structured, intentional, like discipleship mm-hmm. kind of relationship. But so I'm thinking, so let's maybe start with like some less formal ways of evangelism.
I think my favorite one that came up even this morning in our meeting was asking the question, can I pray for you? I like it because it doesn't dive into church doctrine, because there's all kinds of different beliefs amongst Christianity. So, but everyone prays. I would pose that even people that would say they're atheists probably still pray to something. They just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I feel like prayer is pretty universal, and it's an easy way to open the door without diving into what, like, your core beliefs is, as far as, yeah, the doctrine of Christ. But I can pray with you, mm-hmm. and that opens yeah. the door.
And you're not putting them, like, on the spot.
Yeah.
As far as, like, well, what do you believe, and what do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You're not questioning
it's
them.
It's a you're service just, you're offering,
yeah.
kind of.
Yeah.
Yep. Something you're doing for them, in a way, right?
And after you say amen, maybe they open up, and mm-hmm. and then you have just another door that you can keep walking through with them if they open up. But can I pray for you, or can I pray with you, feels like a pretty mm-hmm. easy way to evangelize with someone.
Yeah. I feel like a less formal, some of the less formal ways are probably going to be more spontaneous too. Like something that I was thinking about was, when you're outside of that Christian bubble, because I know definitely probably over a year ago, I was saying like, gosh, a lot of my friends, like we're all in this Christian bubble. And we had, Scott and I had gone somewhere, where we weren't around like people from our church or really other Christians. And it was so wild for me. I was like, I feel like I'm just out in the wild right now, and I don't know how to act or like be. And it was just, and it just was kind of a awakening for me, like, man, Malia, like you are really just hunkered down in this church bubble. And so I thought about it again, because I've got this friend that doesn't attend church, and we actually had planned to binge watch this reality TV show together for fun. But like religion had come up on the show, and it actually like opened a door for me to kind of talk about my faith and why I feel like we Christians are kind of like shed in like a bad light, and how sometimes I think people can be hypocritical when it comes to Christians. And I feel like it's kind of opened a door there now, and to have more conversations. And so that was just something kind of spontaneous, like not doing anything spiritual at all, but how, you know, we can kind of seize those opportunities, and maybe it's not going to start with something like, oh my gosh, she was saved right then and there. But hopefully it will plant a seed and grow over time as our relationship grows too. So, yeah.
Yep. You never know when God's just going to put you at the right time and the right yeah. place where you can just put a little seed in. It doesn't have to be like a huge spiel and giving your whole testimony. It's just mm-hmm. like doing life with those people that do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you can just speak into that in just little ways like that. So I like that.
Yeah.
I think one of the most important, going back to like when we ask somebody, can I pray with you, or if we help somebody out, we don't do a very good job, I think, a lot of times as Christians, as far as giving the person the answer why we did what we did. So what I mean by that is, like, I agree praying for somebody is great. Helping somebody out and doing that is great. But we also have to be the ones to take the extra step to explain why we did it. And that doesn't mean you go into this big, long spiel. But it was about, I would say about 100 years ago is where we started to see this shift where morality started to move away from the truth of God to just, it's the right thing to do. So what I mean by that is, if you go back before that, society would say things like, do not steal because it's a command of God, right? Do not do this because it's a command of God. There was a connection between the behavior with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was about 100 years ago when you started seeing like smart, wise man. The church, even in the church started to feel like this. Well, hey, maybe we'll make more connections with people if we start taking God out of, like, so let's remove God from it, because we're still teaching the morality, but we're removing God from it. And so what's ended up happening is now even Christians can do good deeds, right? But there's no connection back to Christ because we don't let people know I'm doing this because, you know, so you take example of, you see somebody on the side of the road, you stop, you help them out. And they're just like, thank you so much. Like our response is usually, no problem. That's just, you know, just, I just like helping people. No, as Christians, that's a great opportunity to say, yeah, I'm glad that I was able to help you. And I just want you to know it's because I have a Savior who like, he's done so much for me. Mm-hmm. And I just want him, he wants to use me to be a blessing back to you. Right? It's, we have to be the ones to make those connections. Mm-hmm. Not in a forceful way.
Right.
It's just making people go, huh, I never met maybe a Christian that actually.
Right. And not just someone just like, oh, they're paying it forward.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. It's that's yeah. the mentality now, right? Like, so I think there's a lot of Christians even that are listening to this that you probably are one of those people that do amazing things. Mm-hmm. And that's, those are, I'm not degrading the or lessening that. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we're assuming the connection is being made in the mind of the person we're helping. And we have to be the ones to not assume anything. It's just like, I'm doing this for you because I, you know, case in point, can I pray for you? Yes, please do. Pray. Hey, I just want you to know, I did this because I believe in a real personal God that loves you and wants a relationship with you. Simply, mm-hmm. I mean, just, it's just filling in the why. Don't assume a person knows the why. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's just something I think.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
What are some other maybe kind of less formal?
Less formal?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, get your sandwich board, you know, sinners go to, you know, like, go walk to just less formal. I think less formal. I think maybe that's a, you know, when I think about formal, I go back to what I said on Sunday. It's not formal by any means, but if you don't know how to share your testimony, then mm-hmm. what you got to get that figured out.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a negative. It's just like, just figure that out. Because, again, we evangelize all the time. Nobody has a problem telling anybody about an experience with a movie, a restaurant, a park, whatever you go to.
Yeah.
We should be able to do the same things just talking about our experience with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's not... That requires no Bible knowledge. That requires no quoting of scripture. Mm-hmm. That requires, it's just, let me just tell you my experience, right? Yeah. And that's the in my opinion, that's the number one way evangelism mm-hmm. happens. And I think Paul's an example of that. If you actually read Acts, there's two different times Paul recounts his mm-hmm. salvation. I think Paul told everybody that story.
Yeah.
I think the church probably got to the point of like, I heard this already, Paul. You know, because that was Paul's starting point.
Yeah,
Paul
but it's was such like, a good one.
Let
yeah.
me tell you how I came to know Jesus. And now right now somebody might be saying, yeah, well, that's easy. That was Paul. Like his experience, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
Every conversion is a miracle, whether you believed when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And have stayed faithful. That's a miracle. I mean, honestly, because I have such an opposite testimony, you know, like I'm like, that is amazing that you were able to stay with the faith and stay strong and not, you know, succumb to the world. And so I just, because I know I've talked to friends who kind of have that story and they're like, mine, it's just not exciting. And so I just don't feel it. And I'm like, no, man, that's what we pray for our children mm-hmm. to have. And it's everyone is great. Mm-hmm. So.
So the beauty of that, sharing Jesus with somebody, if you think about it, no doctrine doesn't have to come up.
No.
Churches don't have to come up. Like, again, scripture doesn't have to come up. It's just, this is what made me believe what I believe, and this is how it has changed mm-hmm. my life.
And that's a good reminder, I think. I think it's a good reminder that our stories are powerful and that they have an impact on people. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's the most informal way mm-hmm. to tell anybody anything. And again, I find it sad how we live in a time where everybody that... See, we're lucky. We get to work in the church, right? Jesus mm-hmm. is brought up on a regular basis for us. Mm-hmm. So I get it because I've been... And we've all been out and lived and worked in the secular world, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what I find so interesting as Christians. How come we think we have to go to a job and we have to listen to our coworkers talk about all of their weekend experiences, and we have to sit and listen to it, but we don't have the right to say, "Let me tell you about mine."
Yeah, man, church was awesome. Church,
that's what I'm saying. Like, man, this
David
is what we learned.
David brought it.
I know, right? I mean, but I'm just, you know, but we don't do that. We don't even look at church that way. We don't look at, or it doesn't even have to be weekly church. It could be once faith in action is done, right? These big moment and these experiences. We don't, whatever it is, we feel like we can't share our lives in these contexts, but we have to listen to everybody else. Like, I have to sit there and listen to the guy tell me about his party he went to over the weekend. But I can't then turn around and say, cool story, man. Man, can I tell you about my weekend? Here you go.
So if you're listening, come Monday morning. Here's your challenge. Your challenge.
Yeah, right. That is a good challenge.
Share it. Share it up.
There you go.
Take church to work with you.
But then that's the challenge back to us also with witnessing is, you talk about the formal, informal, we also have to be excited about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're bumps on a log and we're just, you know, like if we're not excited about church, if we're not excited about worship, if we're not excited about what God's doing, if we're not excited about Jesus, and I'm going to say this because this was challenging to me. I was actually reading a book recently and the author basically said he says like, the sad part is, he says, a lot of Christians today, they're just bored with Jesus. And he says, like, you don't know Jesus then because you never get bored with Jesus. But he says, that's the problem with most Christians. They're just bored with Jesus. And yeah, you're not going to, I mean, come on, let's be honest. If you're like, hey, I went to this restaurant. It was all right. Like, I didn't throw up after it was over. You know, like, I had to eat. So we just went there. I mean, so that puts it back on us to have a passion in our spiritual life, right? Mm-hmm. Like a fervor of excitement, you know, so. Mm-hmm. That's important back to us.
So what would you think is kind of like mid-level evangelism? Like, I guess when I was thinking about that, I was thinking like inviting a friend to church. Yeah. Because it's still like it's intentional, but it's still kind of, it's not passive, but like you're not the one doing the talking necessarily. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're inviting them here to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a little less scary, I think. Because you don't feel like it's all on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, would you guys agree? What else would you think?
I agree. I've never thought of it in terms of like novice, intermediate.
Well, I don't know. Like that helps my brain. And so maybe I'm completely off and no one, true. Anyone can track with me.
I am tracking.
Okay, thank you.
Going back to things that are maybe secular, like come experience this with me is a pretty, hey, I had this amazing experience at whatever restaurant. We should go out. We should go there sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Take that to church. Yeah. I have this amazing experience. This is my church home and it's amazing. Come to church with me sometime. Yeah.
You're going out on a limb a little bit.
Yeah. Let them experience it for themselves. Yeah. That way, like you said, it's not, I know you talked, David, about this, but like taking the pressure, like the pressure's not on you anyway,
right?
But it's there whether you like it or not. Just it's part of our humanness that we feel that pressure.
And it feels a little less pressury.
Right. But like, just come sit next to me at church.
Yeah, like I know David's going to like bring some fire and make us feel a type of way. And so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with like looking at it at different levels, but I get what your brain's saying because that one is also, so this is what I would say. We should be doing that, right? All of us, right? Should, and it does cause some ownership. Like now you have to be, like you have to, either I'm going to come pick you up, either I'm going to wait for you, whether I'm going to save seat, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the one that I want to put out there, though. This is why I would agree. It's one step higher, maybe, is because the purpose of that is not just to get them into church. The next step is, after it's over, hey, what'd you think?
Mm-hmm.
You got any questions?
Yeah, should we go have lunch?
Should we have? Yeah. There's a follow-up, right? There's the I'm your bridge, right? And I say that to, again, take the pressure off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hearing this, there is nothing wrong to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Any question a person gives you, see, the problem with evangelism again is it's like, I don't know the answers to all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do. The answer is, if you don't know, I don't know. But here's what I do know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's the freedom there. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then if you have somebody who has all these questions and your answer is, I don't know, that's when you say, that's why we say things like, that's why I go to church. So I can try to learn these things.
Yeah.
And I would love for you to keep coming to church so we can learn these things.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
Anyways.
Yeah. Agree, Natalie?
I agree.
I just love how we really got to film these sometimes so you guys can see them.
No, we don't.
We're not doing YouTube.
We just kind of But Lee and I both just kind of turned and looked at Natalie. Like,
and she's like, huh? We have to be nice because we wanted her to come back. Yeah.
and I would, okay, so I want to say this. See, this is what I love about these conversations, because you can talk for hours.
Sure.
I just love it.
Yeah.
So be ready.
So be ready.
Chit chats with David.
But new podcast title.
Yes. Chit chats with David.
On hour three, during this hour.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
chapter one.
Yeah,
I'm out.
But I thought about this in your example of bringing somebody to church. Mm-hmm. I would also challenge us as people hearing this. You are engaging in evangelism even on a Sunday morning, whether you brought somebody or not. So let me give you some mindset with our church. We're creatures of habit, right? Well, when you come into church, we should walk into church prepared that there could be a person sitting near us that is there, whether invited or not. But we are in a position of welcoming, mm-hmm. of acknowledging, of embracing, you know, and like making them feel welcomed. I think about, I mean, I'll challenge this with us. If you are listening to this and you are one that, like, that's my seat, that's where I sit, these are the people that always sit around me. Basically, what you've done is you've created a wall of comfortability around you that you're basically saying on a Sunday morning, no one can enter my wall. And I just want to encourage us that evangelism happens at any moment, even in the middle of a Sunday morning worship service, where God may put a person near us that, you know, like,
yeah.
Pay attention.
And how? What an easy thing to just switch up where you're sitting, too.
Yes. And again, it's not about nobody has to be, but there's so much power in just acknowledging somebody and saying, good morning. It's great to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just as that. But if when I say a bunch of people, I'm not saying bombarding someone, but it's not about one person engaging in these long conversation with a visitor. But if you have five or six people that make it a point to just go and in that area just to say, hey, you look new. Yeah. It's like, great to have you here.
Like, you know, my go-to line, and you guys can steal this, is just like, have we met?
Oh, I do that all the time.
Because, you know, it's a really easy, and you can play dumb. Yep. And because you, I know I haven't met you. Yeah. But, like, it's a good, you know, way to get a conversation started. Oh, yeah. And then it just flows from there.
I do it even if I know I think I met them, because I just don't remember. Like, I don't remember names. And I've said that before. I've walked up to people and said, I apologize. Like, listen, I'm sorry. Have we met before? Because my memory is horrible.
Yeah.
And... But anyways, evangelism's happening even if you didn't actively bring a person to Sunday morning.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point.
So
we can all be better about that.
Yes. Evangelism is not just telling people about Jesus. It's welcoming and engaging and just showing them that we noticed you and you are here. So
yeah, anyways. That's always the number one thing I look for when I'm visiting a church is like, who's going to come talk to me? And then I'm highly offended if no one comes to talk to me.
How friendly is our church?
Yes.
Oh, and we had that conversation. So in Missouri, the church I was at, Missouri, I remember sitting down with my board one day because we were talking about growing the church and all that. And I said, are we a friendly church? I asked them, are we a friendly church? And they were like, absolutely. I mean, they were like, that was their response. Oh, absolutely. We're the friendliest. We're so friendly. And I said, they didn't realize that I had a secret worshiper attend, right? And I said, no, you're not. I said, you're
That's
friendly.
My dream job.
I said, you're friendly to the people you know. And then they sat there and they thought about it. And like, you know, you're right. We are. We're extremely friendly to the people we already know.
Yeah.
We're extremely friendly to the people that we already have a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not friendly to a person that we
don't know.
Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage, this is not, again, we're not saying this to be like, how dare you people. But I would just say this, a good rule of thumb is everybody that's listening to this, if you consider Blessed Hope Community Church your home church, focus on the word home. How would you treat a person that walked into your home?
Yeah.
Treat any person you don't know in this congregation on a Sunday morning, treat them as if this is my home. And you would not ignore a person in your home. At least I hope not. You know, you would at least acknowledge if there
was... I mean, I don't know. If they ring the doorbell, I duck and cover.
I mean, yeah. That's too late. Just see, kidding. They're already in the door here. Yeah, so okay. It's like, we can't, you know...
Not going to do that.
Can't lock them out. But I just think that's a good rule of thumb. It's just, you know, how would you treat somebody in your home? Mm-hmm. And maybe that would help put some people at ease with the awkwardness. It's like, you probably wouldn't feel as awkward in your home to engage with somebody in at least a, hey, it's nice to meet you. My name's David. What's yours? Great to have you here. Boom. So
what would we consider next level? Like the probably something that's more, are we talking like one-on-one discipleship? Natalie?
Isaiah, hold on.
That would...
Tyler?
That would feel like next level to me. Just yeah. on a personal level. Yeah. But I...
Like, let's read this book together.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about it.
Yeah, that would be...
Yeah.
Definitely next level. Like, level up mm-hmm. in difficulty and uncomfortableness.
Yeah.
Where you are. It's like very one-on-one. Very much you are almost like the... Like a teacher role.
Yep.
That would feel yeah. intimidating.
The nice thing about that is there's always a clear beginning and end, usually, you know, because then you get to the end of the book and you guys can decide, like, hey, are we going to keep doing this? Are we done for now? Like, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And those are always really fruitful, I think.
Yeah. I like the relationship. I think it'd be more than likely best to have a relationship a little bit first.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah,
mean, that's
sure.
more comfortable yeah. in the ideal, but that's formal with doing a book. And I like the start date and an end date is mm-hmm. Very nice to have in case, you yeah. know, you're still...
In case you just don't vibe.
Yeah.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Then at least you know, like, right. hey, well, when we finish this, right. we're done.
And they're, yeah, on yeah. a different path and a different direction.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I really like, David, you brought this up earlier today, the Eastern versus Western culture. And just thinking about how would you treat somebody that came into your home? Well, from an Eastern or a Western perspective, because it's very different. Mm-hmm. The Western perspective is, what are you doing here? Like, you know, the doorbell rings and yeah, it's like this duck and cover. And, but
pretend we're not home.
From the Eastern perspective, very much relationship based is, oh, I have somebody that I get to go talk to. Like mm-hmm. it's an opportunity and we should embrace those opportunities. I think about my time at a bigger church in Cedar Rapids. It was so great to sit there. We would sometimes sit behind the same people. And it was like, have we met? Oh yeah, we've been here before. And then even everyone there, it was so big. It didn't matter if you had met or not. If you'd been there for 5 months, you know, 5 weeks or 50 years, it's like, yeah, I've been going here. Oh, cool. How long? 25 years we've been here. Oh, that's so cool. How long have you been here? Like 5 weeks. I'm so glad you're here.
Everyone, the roles are reversed.
Everyone is just very, very excited that you're,
yeah.
that you're there.
Yeah.
And it was a really great experience to feel that. And then to not feel ashamed, like, oh, you've been here for 25 years and I didn't know you. And there's no shame. There was just no, it's just very high levels of enthusiasm mm-hmm. to experience the growth. Mm-hmm. And I feel that same way here too. Like looking out, being on stage and looking out, seeing new faces, like, oh, this is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I want to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, top level, or however we want to say it, is yeah, the discipleship would be I actually was thinking about this in our neighborhood, because we have some neighbors that we're friendly with, and I've had a thought if I should go and ask them, hey, we have this discipleship track. We want to, you know, because I'll say this to anybody, the church has a discipleship track. The intention behind it is you can lead it too, you know, and I've actually thought about that, asking some of my neighbors to be like, you want to do this at our house? And so anyways, that's interesting that got yeah. brought up because I had been contemplating that for a little bit. But the big one for me, what I think would say top level, if you want to speak evangelism, is everything we've been talking about is like praying for somebody and then speaking Jesus. That's like bringing Jesus into the conversation mm-hmm. or you know, even inviting him to church. But the ultimate is when you have to look and sit with somebody and actually speak hard truth.
Mm.
That's the top level. Mm-hmm. Top level for me is when you actually walk somebody through the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Like you actually talk to them. Of like, whether you want to call it Romans roads, of mm-hmm. like, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like, there's no assumption anymore. Like, I'm going to actually walk you through this, and we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to share this with you. Because again, if you think about it, that should be the goal of all of the stuff we're talking about. The goal should be, if I brought Jesus into it, I want to get you to the point where you understand the gospel. If I invite you to church, I want you to know the gospel. If I disciple you. You know, you think about it, like, I think it would be great, you know, I could do this Bible study and do this track with some neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. And we go through all 12 weeks. Just because we went through all 12 weeks, well, if we did that track, we would, because there's one lesson just on salvation and one lesson just on sin. Mm-hmm. So they would hear it. But I'm just saying, like, if I got with somebody and said, hey, would you want to come to my house for a Bible study through, you know, James?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there's not hardcore biblical truth in that. But that doesn't mean that you're actually going to have the hard conversation of this is what salvation is. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's top level where you just, there's no more assumption. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, this is truth. Mm-hmm. And that is where I think most Christian, well, let's just, I mean, I don't, there's times I don't like doing it. I'm going to be completely honest. It's so much easier to do it preaching on a Sunday morning than face to face with somebody.
Yeah.
Preaching on a Sunday morning, well, I would get up there and say anything that God tells me to say. I have no qualms about how are they going to take it. What's, but that face to face is the hardest. Mm-hmm. And that's where I do agree. There's some training that, that helps. Mm-hmm. Knowledge helps, you know, to have the Bible knowledge, but you don't have to know the whole Bible. Learn Romans Roads. Anybody that's listening to me right now and you're like, what's Romans Roads? Google it. It'll give you, the book of Romans walks you through the main points of salvation.
Okay. That was going to be my next question for you is, mm-hmm. I know we talk a lot about the gospel, mm-hmm. but I know we've found as we have hired people over the years, when you ask them to say like, what is the gospel? It is a hard question for people. Yep. So I was going to ask you like, just to help someone who's listening that says, okay, I don't even know if I can articulate that. What would be the most basic, easiest way you would articulate what is the gospel?
That's a great, I like how she gestured to me though. You guys get off the hook.
Yeah.
It's like, I get,
cause that I know you can, I know you can do it. I'm not saying you guys can't, but I don't want you to be mad at me, Natalie.
So there's two to make it simple. In my opinion, I've already said it. Romans Road is one of the greatest, you know, tools.
Right.
And it's you not creating anything. You're just using scripture.
Right.
I think it's made, you, it depends on what version you want to use, but I think it's what, like 5 to 6 verses. It's verses like, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So that then you just explain to the person, like, this is what that means. We all have sinned. We're all separated from God. Like, we all need a savior. It talks about, you know, the scripture that talk about when we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so it's knowing the verses, but knowing enough to explain them on what they mean. Mm-hmm. So I think Romans Roads, and again, there are so many resources that a person could find online to make that easy. Mm-hmm. I'm not like an advocate to say you have to do it this way, but there's also this great, I love how he does it. If nobody's, so Ray Comfort, I don't know how many knows Ray Comfort.
I think you've talked about him before.
So it's, his ministry is called The Way of the Master. And he does a lot of like street evangelism. So again, that's what his is based on. But his is so simple when you really like understand it. And it's completely non-confrontation. I mean, there's confrontation, but it's not like you getting up. So the way Ray Comfort does it is he's very adamant on the law, right? The Ten Commandments has significant meaning because the Bible says that. It's actually the law that silences people. Right. So the problem with most evangelism is we've had years of people going to share, hey, come to Jesus because he'll make your life better. Right. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, that's not evangelism. That's not the gospel.
Right.
Or you got a Jesus shaped hole in your heart and it needs to be filled. That's not the gospel. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like Ray Comfort. So again, I'm not trying to say you have to do it his way, but he has a very basic formula that he teaches. You can actually do classes on it. Mm-hmm. But the way he does it, so we'll role play. So everybody, you know, so if I was going to Tyler and I just started this conversation of spiritual things with Tyler, I would ask, I'd just be like, so Tyler, do you think you're a good person? Don't answer like a Christian. Don't be sitting there going like, hopefully, don't answer like a Christian.
Answer like somebody who thinks they're a good person.
Yeah,
I'm an all right guy.
Because the reality is 99% of people do want to believe they're a good person, right? Because I'm not as bad as the other people, right? So we're gonna say we're a good person. Yeah. It's like, and his system is basically just like, well, do you mind if I ask you just a couple questions to see if that's true? It's like, Tyler, have you ever lied?
Yep.
What's that make you?
Not a good person.
Well, no, but then I would be like, no. I mean, let's not get there. But that liar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, well, have you ever stolen anything?
Yep.
What does that make you?
A thief.
So, okay. Well, let me ask you this one. I mean, have you ever, like, lusted after anybody before?
Yep.
Okay. So, the Bible says that actually is committing adultery in your heart. So, Tyler, by your own admission, you're a lying, thieving adulterer at heart.
Wow.
So, now here's the thing. I didn't call you that. See, that's what I love about his system. I didn't call him that. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to you and say, you're a lying, thieving. You said that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like his system is because, again, I'm not trying to preach this like you should do this.
Right.
But it's a very easy way where we're not being judgmental, But it's allowing the holiness of God's law to convict a person. Because now the question is, let me ask you this question. If someday you have to stand before the God of the universe, and it's going to be by the law that you are going to be held accountable, the Ten Commandments, and we've only talked about three out of the ten. When you stand before God, do you think you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Well, it's pretty obvious. Very guilty. Very
see,
guilty.
That's why I love his system, because
it puts it on them.
It puts it on them, yeah. But then it makes it perfect. Like, can I tell you what Jesus did for you? Mm-hmm. See, the idea of it, it sounds very judgmental in the beginning, but it's all to get them to this point of like, but let me tell you what Jesus did.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to be guilty before God. Like, and so again, you can go on YouTube and watch. He's got a lot of videos on the, of him doing this. Mm-hmm. But again, he's a street one, right? So when you watch these, please understand that it would look different, because I've actually used Way of the Master with friends. Mm-hmm. Because then it's that intimate, you know, it's not like, you know, hey man, and I've started it with like, you know, I love you, right? Can we talk? I care about you so much. Can we talk about this? And I've actually used that very basic system, you know, and again, it's never about, see, this is the other thing I think we have to do when we witness to people. This is the other thing I love about Ray Comfort. At the end of the conversation, he never goes, would you like to pray a prayer of salvation with me? Mm-hmm. He always ends it with, I just want you to take these things. I want you to think about them. I want you to, because the attitude is, I'm not trying to get you to make this moment decision. Because the reality is, if God gets his hooks in that person, God will take care of that. Right? So that's another thing I like about him, is it's not about, let's get you to pray a prayer. It's, I'm just going to speak this truth to you. And I just want you to think about it. And if we do that with people we know, we have a relationship with, we can do the same thing and say, you want to talk more about this? I'm always here. Like, so I always liked his system.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because it's just a...
Yeah.
It's a, I don't want to make it into a formula, but it gives you at least a structure that you can follow. Which,
for someone like me, that's helpful.
It gives you a structure you can follow where you're not jumping over words, or you're not jumping the gun. Sure. It's like... Let's start with the law, because that's what condemns us. You know, like, it's the mirror, right? And then once the mirror's in front of you, let me tell you the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
And
so we're over time, but I do want to ask. Yeah, we do. Unlike Sunday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I feel like we're just getting into the good stuff here.
So here's my question.
Role play.
With evangelism is, I feel like, where we live in our context here, we have a lot of friends that maybe attend church here in town, not at Blessed Hope necessarily, but I would say, like, they believe that there's that God is real, and you know that, they believe in God from what you've gathered, but. You know that their lives don't look like they follow. So how would evangelism change in those instances? Because it's like, I would imagine they already know a lot of these things, especially if they grew up going to church. They know that they're sinners. They know all this, but maybe they've grown up in the context where, like, hey, you are baptized as a baby and you're confirmed and you go through these steps and you're good.
Great,
I think
question.
That's so tricky.
Listen, I think that's a question that almost makes me think we need to say, thank you for listening. Come back for part two.
Yeah, and that's totally fine. That can be another podcast
episode. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are your guys's? I don't want to be the one that...
I just feel like that's probably almost more common in our lives at the church.
Cultural
here.
Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheap grace.
Yeah, it's cheap. Cultural Christianity.
Yeah, it really makes me think of Bonhoeffer and his evaluation of cheap grace, where I'm like, oh yeah, we're all sinners, but Jesus died for me, so
yeah,
I got
I'm good.
This. Yeah, I'm good. You're good. We're all good. Yeah.
Which
here we go.
I really think that is sadder, even you know, the false security. I know we've talked about this before, but
well, how many will say to me, Lord, Lord, on that day? And you know, so it's a reality. Again, I don't want to steal anybody's thunder.
No, I love the question, and I think, like you said, that's got to be so harder than even just a complete atheist, non-believer of anything, to evangelize to that group of people.
Because it's almost like you're attacking their, because they're not doing it right, quote unquote. You know what I mean? And those are terrible words, but you know what I'm saying. And so, because they're like, because then they're like, well, I do believe in God and I am a Christian. You know what I mean?
So I think there's a powerful thing. No, and I want to say this, it's easy to say here in this context, but in the midst of the conversation, it's a little bit harder. So let's just acknowledge that. But I think that's where we need to do a better job. I need to do a better job of challenging, not in a judgmental way, challenging clarity. So if somebody said to me, say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Do you mind if I ask, what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. Well, it means this. Okay. Or I got, you know, of course I'm saved. That's awesome. I'd love to hear your test. Like, I'd love to hear that story.
That's a good one.
I want to hear it.
Yeah. Right?
And then if they share it and now it's, you know, like this, now that's where the uncomfortable comes in, because now you got to kind of push back
up. Well, that's when you share yours.
That's when you share yours.
Because, and then they see the difference, yes, right? Yes. Hopefully.
Well, they should. Well, you trust the Holy Spirit to convict that. But no, I think we need to do a better job of pushback, not in judgmentalism, but like, I would love to hear that. Tell me about that. Like, why do you? And then even if they say, well, this is what I believe, we shouldn't be afraid to say, because here's the point, at least the way I see it. If they truly are Christians, as they say they are, why would they not want to engage in biblical discussion? Like, it's almost coming from that premise of like, that's awesome. I would love to talk Bible with you. Let's get into that and start asking some questions. So back to cheap grace, you know, with Bonhoeffer, you know, let's say you have somebody that, well, I believe in Jesus and it's all good, but you know from their lifestyle, right, completely again. That's what you could kind of look at. I was like, you know, I would just love to hear your take. It's not about like define it, but I'd love to hear your take. What do you think it means when Jesus talks about denying ourselves and picking up a cross and following him? What do you think that means? Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you, but I'm asking you, what do you think that means?
Laying a trap. No, right? I'm
kidding. Well, that's kind of, listen, it's not,
no,
it's
I know.
A trap in the sense, it's the same way with Way of the Master, right? You're guiding them to a point where it's basically like, I'm not telling you you're wrong, but I'm just getting you to this point.
And let scripture speak for itself.
Let scripture speak, let the truth speak for itself. So I think we need to do a better job with those kind of things. Like just asking those, could you pressing define in harder. What that means?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, where did you come to that?
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, I was baptized as a baby. I'm good. Okay, that's great. You know, can you give me some insight into where from Scripture were you taught that that's what salvation is? Or, so again, it's never about, it's all in, again, tone is powerful, question is powerful, but there's nothing wrong to be, almost get excited about it. Oh, this is an awesome conversation. Let's talk. Give me more. Yeah. Clarify. What do you mean by that? What does that mean to you? And I think that's when people will start seeing like the holes in their...
Right.
And that's where you trust the Holy Spirit. This again goes back to the Holy Spirit. It's not about us being like, see, you're wrong. Trusting the Holy Spirit to make them go, huh, maybe my foundation isn't as strong as I think it is.
Well, I think part of it too is, and this is something I've felt convicted about lately, is like, does my life look any different than theirs? You know what I mean? And so like, am I doing things that are causing them to question their faith or question their relationship, you know, and things like that? And so I'm like, if I'm not looking any different, then what am I doing? You know, other than being here every Sunday. So and that's convicting, because I think if you really are you know, following Jesus the way he's called us to really follow him, we're going to look different and it's going to be obvious. And really, like, how can they not see it? Right. And so, ugh, that's convicting. Cause it's so easy to just like, you know, blend in and,
And I would say, this is why these conversations go forever. I love it. But this would be a great example. So anybody that's listening to this, if you're in that context of what you just asked about, you know, what if they say they are a Christian? I'm gonna pitch it again. If you ever, we have our 12-week discipleship track. So if you have somebody that you have a friend or family coworker and they say to you, I'm a Christian, but you don't think they are, or that you don't think they have that foundation, then this is where we have to invest. Meaning, you can ask me, I will give you copies. And I would encourage this. So if Tyler was my friend and I go to him and he said, and I'm just like, I don't know. my response back to Tyler could be like, hey, that's awesome. I love the fact you say you're Christian. I didn't realize that you have that faith. I'm always longing to grow in my relationship. Would you be interested? Let's do this study together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not about let me teach you. It's like, mm-hmm. would you do the study with me? And here's what's cool about that discipleship track. If you do the first one, it's going to walk you through everything from who is God the Father, mm-hmm. who is God the Son, who is the Holy Spirit, what is sin, what is salvation, what is, you know, sanctification. It's going to walk you through all the foundational elements of core beliefs of Christianity. Yeah. So you can at least know that if they go through that with you, they're going to hear from Scripture. Mm-hmm. This is what salvation is, why we need it, who God is, like, and yeah. it's just you saying, let's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not preaching to you. I'm not throwing anything at mm-hmm. you. But I would almost, because then if they came back and were like, oh, I don't want it. I was like, well, wait a minute. I mean, mm-hmm. if your Christianity is important, let's grow. Let's mm-hmm. do this together. I think there's ways to push back yeah. in healthy ways.
No, that's good. That's
I
good.
Think that you used a word right there that just really resonates in my head. If your belief is important to you,
mm-hmm.
like where do you put it on your life's hierarchy? Is church something that's only important to you on Sundays? Is church something that's important to you, you know, 24/7? How important is it to you? And these conversations, discipleship conversations like this, will be very revealing about your friends and your neighbors, about how important it is to them.
So, yeah. So we have, that's what I would just say. We have resources here mm-hmm. that you can use. The key is though, whether you're going to use them, you know, and one of the sermons we're going to do before this series is done is it's talking about what are our eternal investments in mm-hmm. life. We invest in a lot of stuff
yes.
in our lives, but how much of what we're doing is eternal investments? Mm-hmm. And so this is where investing in something takes it, there's a cost
mm-hmm.
and it's a worthwhile cost.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I have recommendations too. If people have like books that are great for discipleship mm-hmm. to use as discipleship tools and stuff like that too. So yeah, come see us if you've got questions or want resources. This has been a really fun conversation.
Yeah.
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 Natalie.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you.
She's a regular.
Even in your weak moment. See, it yes. wasn't that bad, right?
Not that bad.
No. I tried not to put you on the spot.
You may may hear from me again.
Ooh, I like it. Boy. I like it.
That Look sounds like us. A commitment.
Man, we keep this yeah. up. We might have to start buying more microphones.
I know. I like it. It's always fun when we can get together and talk about this stuff. So, all right. Thanks for listening.